Welcome to Declaration, where we exist to help people encounter and follow Jesus. Here at Declaration, we believe that God has a word for you and for your family, to live a life of fullness and to be faithful to Christ and His church. If you want to know more about who we are at Declaration Church, then I highly encourage you to visit declaration.org. Now let's join in with Pastor John Sherrill.
All right. Hey, everybody. Everybody feeling good today? Okay, I feel like we can like stand up and like rub arm, you know, do, like rub shoulders or something, wake everybody up or something. Man, it is good to be here. Can we do this? Can we clap and shout and celebrate as we dismiss our fifth and sixth grade? We're going to welcome everybody joining us online right now. Come on, you can be louder than that. You can be louder than that. There you go. Well, in his sermon series, The Good Life, Pastor Justin Buzzard, which is actually his real name, Justin Buzzard, poses this question. Imagine if everyone on the planet obeyed the Ten Commandments. Imagine if everyone, you like that, huh? Imagine if everyone on the planet obeyed the Ten Commandments. I mean, just for just a second, think about that, right? I mean, in a matter of a few weeks, maybe even a few days, we would see this world being a much better place, right? If everyone on the entire planet obeyed the Ten Commandments. I mean, there would be no stealing, no murder, no adultery. People would remain faithful in their marriages. Children would honor their father and mother. Blessed be God. Amen. We would all be truth tellers, even the politicians. There'd be no online slander. There'd be no bearing false witness. We would all be totally content, not coveting, not comparing. I mean, and then Pastor Justin went on to say, but what about the third commandment, right? What would keeping the third commandment make a significant difference in this world? Would anyone notice or even care if we just ignored the third commandment? I mean, after all, the third commandment appears to be possibly just maybe the weakest of them all in comparison to the others. Maybe it's just kind of like an accessory commandment. And maybe you're sitting there going, okay, but which one is the third commandment, right? Like, which one are you talking about? Well, let me show you. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says this. You shall not take, I don't know what that little blue thing is, but it's been haunting me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I worked on that for like 15 minutes, but for the, like, I don't know. But for the Lord will not something, let me read it from here. The Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Right? So the gist of it is, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. I mean, when we all think about all the other commandments, right? Like don't kill, don't steal, don't worship false idols. If you're Baptist, there's a 10.5. Don't dance, don't drink, don't chew, don't go out with girls that do. I was raised that way so I can say it. But when you compare it to all the other commandments, this Exodus 20 verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I mean, to many, we may hear this verse and immediately we may have some thought or some idea. What does that mean? You know, you may have some kind of concept, if you will. Some may even think, well, that's really not that big of a deal. Well, actually, the third commandment is actually, it's a huge commandment. It's massive. It is deeply important. And obeying this commandment just actually might make the most significant impact in our world today. Pastor Alan Cole once said, the whole of the Ten Commandments are really the explanation of God's name. The whole of the Ten Commandments are really the explanation of the third commandment, God's name. So if you've been with us for the past 5 weeks, you know we've been in this series talking about the name of Jesus and all that comes in and comes with that name. We've highlighted so many attributes, so many characteristics of the nature of who Jesus is, for the purpose of encouragement, also maybe that our faith would increase. And our hope has been that we've all began to really see him and his name as even greater than we thought before, right? Even more able, even more wonderful, more life-giving, even more powerful than maybe we imagined, so that we may begin to invoke his name, to speak his name into and over every situation that we may go through, that we may be called upon to endure. Basically, it's like, let's put feet to our faith in a sense. We say that we believe these things, but are we really living in the way that we say that we believe, right? Are we calling upon this name that we say is above every name, truly trusting moment by moment, day by day, even sometimes second by second, when we have a situation that arises where our life impacts a great need? Are we jumping and calling upon the name of Jesus? Or even if it's not a great need, we're just walking in the mundane of Monday, and we're still calling upon the name of Jesus because it's the most important name. It's the highest name, right? So putting faith into action. So today I want to look at speaking his name from a different side of the coin. What does it mean to speak his name in vain? What does it mean, this phrase, in vain? Why would taking the name of the Lord God in vain be wrong or bad? But before we dive into that, with all the talk over the last few weeks of his name and speaking his name and calling upon his name and declaring his name and praying in his name, let me just back up a minute and just say, okay, well, what does it really mean when we say in his or in the name? What are we saying when we say in the name of Jesus? You know, when we use that phrase, in the name, what does it mean that we're saying? Let me say it this way. Pastor Aaron and I were talking about this, and it's like one thing kind of beget to the next, but this is what we're saying. When we're saying in your name or in the name of Jesus, we're saying for the cause of. So now think of the last time you prayed, and maybe you're like me, and you've just been raised with this idea that when you finish a prayer, you're supposed to say in Jesus' name, right? Think about that. What you're saying is for the cause of Jesus. You're saying for the mission of, for the purpose of, in the will of, due to the identity of, in the identity, because of the nature of, by the power of, under the authority of, for the glory of. This is what we're saying when we say in the name of. So many things right there. I mean, that is a statement with so much gravity. So when we say, or when we pray, or when we declare in the name of Jesus, we're saying for the causes and the purposes of Jesus, because the mission of Jesus, or for the mission of Jesus. It's in the will of Jesus we pray, in the will of the Father. Why do we say that? Well, because Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. It's under the identity. We're saying in the name, in the identity of you, Jesus, we pray. By your power, we pray, Jesus. That's what we're praying. Under your authority, in your authority of Jesus, we pray. For your glory, we pray. Maybe that's even better. So when we're using that phrase, it's not just, oh, well, this is the end of the paragraph of prayer, right? It's not just a punctuation mark. No, it's for your glory that we're praying this, Jesus. It's got power. It's got weight. So now when it comes to the phrase in vain, what does this mean? What is vanity? Well, just a couple of definition searches. To be vain means not yielding the desired outcome. It means fruitless, lacking substance or worth, having or showing excessive pride in one's appearance or accomplishments, conceited. Whereas vanity might mean excessive pride in one's appearance or accomplishments, conceit, something about which one is vain or conceited, worthlessness, pointlessness, futility. So when we're thinking about this statement that we see in the Ten Commandments, where we read from Exodus or Deuteronomy, they read this the exact same, whether it's Exodus 27, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or Deuteronomy 5:11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. What this means, what it's saying is, you should not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Somebody in the room just went, well, duh, right? But that's exactly it. Don't misuse it. Seems so simple and elementary, right? It seems so simple. Don't misuse it. In the NIV, it says this: you shall not misuse the name. The NLT, the CSB, you should not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 5, CSB, do not misuse the name of the Lord. I think we're flipping through. Look at the Message. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase from the Message, Deuteronomy 5:11. No using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banter. God will not put up with the irreverent use of his name. So we are to not misuse the name of Jesus. We are to not handle the name of Jesus with irreverence. Don't speak the name of Jesus associated with curses. Don't marry Jesus and try to combine him with anything other than holiness, reverence. Don't joke about the name of Jesus or misuse his name with silly banter. Don't wrap his name up in things that he does not belong in. I mean, this is a command that God has given us. So when we think about the power that is in the name of Jesus, we might kind of see the verse a little differently. You shall not take or misuse the name. You shall not take or speak poorly or irreverently about the causes of Jesus, the purposes of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, the will of Jesus, the identity of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the glory of Jesus. And can I just go ahead and add this one in just a little sub note? It's like, you know, just down here a little in your Bible, it may say A, and down here A. I would even say the bride of Jesus. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. I love you, I promise, but if you come at me and you start saying, you know, John, you're awesome, and I really like you, but your wife, blah, 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 you and I are probably going to have some beef. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just a little subnote, but I think it's important. We must not misuse his name in vain. Thinking back to our definition of vanity, we're not to use his name in any way that would be fruitless, any way that would show his name to not carry gravity or substance or worth. We are to not use his name in an unworthy way or manner. Don't misuse his name in any way by which you bring glory to yourself. Don't misuse his name by any way where you could be puffed up with excessive pride in yourself, your appearance, your ability, your accomplishments. In other words, when using the name of Jesus, the holy name, the name that is above every name, when speaking his name, we don't misuse his name in any way that would make us the hero or the point of the story rather than just a humble part of the story. Because what? The causes of Jesus, the purposes of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, the will of Jesus, the identity of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, the power and the glory of Jesus, none of those things should really be directly tied to us in any way, to me, to you, to our accomplishments, or for our conceit. We have nothing to do with this except simply we are recipients of this beautiful, wonderful, uncontainable, unfathomable, unstoppable, unconditional, and free grace. That's it. So we have to remember, yes, we are an important part of the story. We just aren't the point of the story. He is, and his name is worthy to be handled properly. We're not to irreverently use his name in any way that would make him or his name appear cheap or worthless or pointless or feckless, futile. See, this really sums up the first thing that I really hope that you're seeing today, because I've spent a lot of time already just kind of building this mountain, if you will, of a simple thing. If the Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 9, hallowed be thy name, hallowed in the Greek, hagiazo, it means holy. In other words, hagiazo, holy as if to say, your name is exalted and worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Hallowed be thy name. So therefore, we are not to misuse the hallowed, holy, hagiazo name that is above every name. See, many times, taking the Lord's name in vain or misusing his name happens when his name is used in a derogatory way, where his name is belittled or even lessened in value. Here's how maybe this might play out. Often something may happen. Something could be frustrating. Something doesn't go the way it's supposed to, desired to go the way it's supposed to. Someone offends you, and the words start flying. Jesus Christ. God. Oh, my God. I can keep going. God blank. Or we just attach some words to it. Holy blank. Jesus blank Christ. I've heard a lot of them. People are getting very creative with their slander. We could keep going, but someone's going to send me an email if I keep going. We take the Lord's name in vain when we choose to misuse his name as almost a swear word, a cuss word, if you will. And can I just say this? I don't believe that the enemy created anything. So words are words. Words in and of themselves are not bad, but how we use words are. Does that make sense? I know that we have to teach like levels of, you know, there's morality. You say that and I will punch you in the throat in Jesus' name. You better not say that as a three-year-old, right? Or whatever. But I'm just saying like that, but still it's how we use the words. Why? We're going to get into this in just a second. But a lot of times when we misuse it, when we take the holy name of God and we add profanity or obscenity or vulgarity to it. And is this any way, right, to speak of our creator and our healer and our father and our savior and our protector and our provider and the lover of our souls? Is this showing him the respect and the reverence and the honor that he is due when we choose to misuse his name by attaching profanity to it or obscenity or even anger? Truth be told, when we choose to use and misuse God's name in anger or attach vulgarity and profanity to it, what we're really doing is illustrating to the watching world that we have a high level of ignorance and a low view of God. And we need to know that the Bible tells us in Matthew 12, verse 36, it says, "But I tell you that for every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment." For every careless word. See, when we misuse the name of Jesus or God in this derogatory way, we take the Lord's name in vain. Secondly, another way we take the Lord's name in vain or we misuse his name is when it's used in a diminishing way. Now, in Hebrew, to take something in vain meant to use it for a worthless, unworthy use or purpose. And the ancient Hebrew world could have never dreamed, basically, about how God's name would be misused and abused in our society, in our culture. Again, back to Pastor Josh Buzzard. He quotes this man, Stephen Carter, the author of this book, Taking God's Name in Vain, and he says this: "In truth, there is probably no country in the Western world where people use God's name quite as much or quite as publicly or for quite as many purposes as we Americans do, the third commandment notwithstanding." He says, "Few candidates for office are able to end their speeches without God, asking God to bless their audience or the nation or the great work we're undertaking, but everyone is sure the other side is insincere." Think about it. Athletes thank God, often on television, after scoring the winning touchdown because, like politicians, they like to think God is on their side. Churches erect huge billboards and take out ads in the paper. God's will is cited as the reason to be against gay rights and a reason to be for them. Everyone who wants to change America and everybody who wants not to understands the nation's love affair with God's name, which is why everyone invokes it. That's why I say misusing God's name goes a little bit further and deeper and wider than just simply attaching profanity to it. It's also wrapping it up in other things, wrapping it up in lesser things, wrapping his name up in unworthy things. But the question still remains, when we speak the name of Jesus, are we speaking in humility and reverence, or are we speaking flippantly and in vain? Does the way we speak of Jesus reveal ones who have grown arrogant in their entitlement, or does it reflect that of how the ancient Hebrews lived, that like them, we guard how and when we speak the name of the Lord? Because we realize what the name contains. Again, much like the first point I made, let me say this. When we choose to use the name of Jesus in an inappropriate or even flippant, diminishing way, we are illustrating to the watching world something I don't think that we want to be held accountable for, but also something definitely not true. We're showing God to have a lack of significance and substance to those all around us by misusing or speaking of him in a diminishing way and making less of him. So we have to be careful that we don't find ourselves guilty of what Jesus said in Matthew 15. Verse 8, where he says, "The people honor me with their lips," but what does he say? "But their hearts, they're far from me." They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. A man named Elton Trueblood once said, "The worst blasphemy is not profanity, but lip service." And I will say, I believe God is far more concerned. Listen to me. This is my opinion. I believe God is far more concerned with what is in our heart than he is what comes from our lips. But truth be told, what comes from our lips is the fruit of what's in our heart. Luke 6:45, let me prove it. "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." Matthew 15:18 says this: "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance." Keep it with all vigilance, for from it flows springs of life. So our hope and our heart is to honor Jesus with reverence and respect, giving him the glory that he's due as he is worthy of it in every way, right? See, when we misuse the name of Jesus or God in a diminishing way, we take the Lord's name in vain. Thirdly, taking the Lord's name in vain or misusing his name happens when his name is used in a disingenuous way. A disingenuous way as well, for selfish gain, possibly. See, not only can we misuse God's name through our words, but we definitely can also misuse his name through our actions. Rather than living holy, we live in hypocrisy, choosing ungodly lifestyles, praying and using God's name for our own ends, inclusive of when we use, like maybe we use the kingdom of God, we use Jesus' kingdom really is just an excuse to build our own. Far too often, we tend to get too busy trying to build our castles, literally, rather than build his kingdom. I think every now and then, it's good to just take a step back and say, Lord, would you expose anything in my heart right now that is happening for selfish gain? I mean, this is a whole, we could just take this rabbit trail for a second. Luke 9:23, right? If you want to follow me, Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer, so there is a definitive, stronger than narrative, stronger than even paradigm. There is a definitive foundational truth that submitting your life to, first of all, just that word in and of itself, submitting and surrendering your life to Jesus means a total denial of self. And so we use the Lord's name in vain when we begin to invoke his name in a disingenuous way, in a way that's more beneficial to me and my kingdom than deserving of him and his kingdom, right? Do you see that? So let me say it like this. Using his name in his purposes, using God only for my betterment, may be the greatest act of treason against the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 6 says this in verse 7 and 8. Do not be fooled, or basically don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desire will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So here's what I believe this morning. Here's what we do with God in God's name. Or I'll say this. What we do with God in God's name will determine what I believe he's going to do with us. How we use God in his name will determine how he's going to use us. The name of Jesus is all powerful. It's the name that's above every name and worthy of respect, humility, reverence, and honor. His name is holy and should be treated as such. Psalm 111, 7 through 9. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. It says, he provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. And it says, holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Psalm 99, 1 through 3. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. This is why we sing some of the things that we sing, not just because some poetic lyric writer wrote a great lyric, but because they're straight from the scripture. Great are you, Lord. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. The word says he is holy. So I hope that you're seeing this takeaway today. The name of Jesus, God's name, should never be used in an unworthy manner. Listen, there are 100 things that you can do with God's name. That's what we spent the first 5 weeks talking about. There's 100 things or more that you can do with God's name. God's name can be spoken, worshiped, trusted, celebrated, adored, shouted, whispered, honored, cherished, exalted, enjoyed. In the name of God, you can pray, heal, protect, preach, baptize, hope, rejoice, love, rest, wait, and move mountains. And God has many names: Almighty, Everlasting, Shepherd, King, Rock, Healer, Provider, Holy One, Creator, Redeemer, Most High God, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh. He's got so many names. Psalm 8:1 says, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So we must ascribe honor to his name, which is above every name. We must not misuse or take this name in vain. He truly is Yah, the unutterable name. May we find ourselves really more like the ancient Hebrews. In awe and wonder, more and more just of his greatness, so much so that when we do speak of his name, it's with the utmost respect and reverence. And may we remember when we speak his name, again, we're speaking the causes of Jesus. We're speaking the purposes of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, the will of Jesus, the identity of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus. We're speaking the glory of Jesus. It's what we speak of when we speak of the name of Jesus. So may our actions be of humility so to reflect our God who is holy. May we never live in a way or speak in a way of him that would be derogatory, diminishing, or disingenuous. Lastly, we can misuse God's name by making false vows or breaking vows that we make. This is why you've probably heard me say Christians don't necessarily say lies, but sometimes they sing them. Because we'll read a lot of, like, I surrender all. Have y'all sung that before? Sing, I surrender all. Sing it with me. All to thee, blessed Savior, I surrender. No, that's not true. We should be like, I surrender some. I surrender some. Let's just be honest, right? I mean, that if I'm being real, that song checks me. It checks me. So we can misuse God's name by making false vows or breaking vows. We take the Lord's name in vain when we misuse his name, when we use it in a duplicitous way as well. Ecclesiastes 5:1-7. This passage has been so monumental in my world. It's one of those passages, almost like Galatians 2:20. The first time I read it, I was like, uh-oh. It says this, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Approach to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. I mean, just verse 1 right there, that's enough to kind of make me need to stop and evaluate the way we're doing American church a little bit. Actually, a lot, if you want to put it, and I'm pretty opinionated, so it makes me stop. Guard your steps as you go into the presence of God. As you approach, listen, rather than offering sacrifice of fools. It says, don't be quick with your mouth or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven, you're on earth, therefore let your words be few. Basically, know your role. Right? Know your lane. For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of the fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. Can I just pause and press into those that God has set apart? He's called you as leaders. And you said yes at some point. Think about this. Think about this. You've said yes at some point to God. Not to the church, not to your church that you grew up, not to some pastor. You said yes to God when he called you to leadership in some way, form. And by the way, I'm one that just believes if he calls you to himself, he calls you to leadership. He calls you to discipleship. He calls you to fellowship. He calls you to servanthood. He calls you to generosity. He calls you to all these things. You said yes. When you make a vow to God, don't be late in paying it. Pay what you vow. It's better that you not vow than vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin. And do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in many dreams and in many words, there's futility. He says, rather, just fear God. Whew. I'm going to tell you right. Look, those seven verses have taken me behind the woodshed more times than I care to admit. Anybody understand what I'm saying by that? Matthew 5, 33 through 37. You've heard it, that it was said to our people long ago, don't break your promises, but keep the promises you make to the Lord. See, that's part of the problem. I think that sometimes we get lost in the shuffle or the confusion of, well, if I do or don't do, I'm going to let this or that down. And we're not thinking of the Lord. We're thinking of maybe the PTO. We're thinking of, you know, the teacher, the classroom, the coach. We're thinking of, oh my gosh, you know, I know that God is saying this, but man, you know, we got to do that this weekend. And look, if we don't, we're going to let the team down. I get it. I really do. And you're really not accountable to me. I am kind of accountable to you, but at the end of the day, think about this. God called you and set you apart. He set you in a place of priority. He placed a calling and an anointing on your life. He's saying, you're this part of the body. You're so necessary to building my kingdom. So what are you doing? Yes, God, yes, here am I, send me. At one point or another, much like Isaiah, we stood in the presence of God. Yes, God, here am I, send me. Yes, God, be careful the promise and the vow that you make to God. Be quick to walk in obedience and humility and under authority. Can I also just add this one in? Because this one got me this week. We all want, like, maybe we're in this place where we're like, yes, I want to have this anointing and I want to have this authority. Can I say this? Listen, you're never going to walk in authority until you learn to walk under authority. And part of that authority is really, God, I've made this promise to you. I've made this vow. This I've said yes to. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Can you send me later? No. It's not the way it works. In fact, anytime you see Jesus, when he calls someone to follow him, he says some pretty radical stuff. Stuff that breaks my mind, if I'm being honest. I'm like, if you love your father and mother more than you love me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just going, man, this sounds super harsh. But you know what? He's trying to illustrate the gravity of the call, because the call comes with authority and anointing. The call comes with a life-changing life opportunity where you're going to partner with him and you're going to shake the nations for his glory. Or not. Or everything else is going to become more important. And he's going to become lesser and lesser. And you're going to sit in your unforgiveness and your offense because you've got FOMO. You're just not willing to admit it because you're watching God do all these incredible things. But you're not. Because at some point you said yes with your lips, but with your life and your calendar and your money, you've said no. Be careful the vows you make. But you know what? I don't agree with them. I don't like what they're doing. I didn't like what they said. Get over it. At the end of the day, it's you and God. If God's called you to something, to be a part of it, to lead it, to be in family with it, to be in community with it, to grow with it, to nurture and water it, you want to see the harvest? Start planting the seed, but don't just walk off and let the sun scorch it and the birds steal it. Listen, when God calls you to it, he equips you for it, and he's expecting you to live into the vow that you've made when you said, yes, here I am. Here I am. This isn't to make you feel. I'm hoping to encourage you, to help you see that, look, when we say don't take the Lord's name in vain, if you're like me, I grow up thinking, well, that means when you said God blank. No, it's so much bigger. It's so much greater. There's so much more weight to it, so much more opportunity for us to say with our lips, yes, we love you, Jesus, but say with our lives, do we? To say with our lips, yes, you are Lord of all, but really to say with our lives, Lord, you're not really Lord at all. Taking the Lord's name in vain can be as simple as this. They know that I'm a believer. They know that I profess to follow Jesus, but what they're seeing and hearing is anything but. It's taking his name in vain. Don't break your promises. Keep your promises you made to the Lord. But I tell you, never swear an oath. Don't swear an oath using the name of heaven, because heaven is God's throne, it says in Matthew 5. Don't swear an oath using the name of the earth, because the earth belongs to God. Are you hearing this? Don't swear an oath using the name of Jerusalem, because that is the city of the great king. Don't even swear by your own head, because you cannot make one hair on your head become white or black. Trust me, I've tried. Kelly won't let me use that Just for Men stuff. She's like, it's creepy. I'm coming over, Robert. Say only yes if you mean yes and no if you mean no. If you say more than yes or no, it's from the evil one. That's what it says in Matthew 5. If you say more than yes, it's from the evil one. Be careful of the prompt. See, we are not to misuse and take the holy name of our God in vain. So let's just review just a couple of scriptures from the beginning as we close. Deuteronomy 5, 10 and 11. And I love how it begins. I didn't read this part to you, but I'm going to read it to you. And now the second part feels so much better. Listen. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Exodus 27, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless anyone who takes his name in vain. Leviticus 19, 12, do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely. He says, I am the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 12 and 13, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only and take your oaths in his name. For the Lord your God, serve him only and take your oaths in his name. He just kind of doubles it. Let's look at this one. Psalm 139, this version here. For they speak against you wickedly and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? See, may we never live in a way or speak in a way of him that would be derogatory, diminishing, disingenuous, or duplicitous. May we revere his holy name. So what do we do? What do we do, right? Like, how can we apply this? Number one, very simply, wherever the band is, come on down. You're the next contestant. What do we do? Number one, man, we invite him, right, to reveal the glory of his holiness to us in such a manner that it brings us to this place of humility where beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can't help ourselves but to live and speak, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. I mean, that is Isaiah 6. And the train of his robe fills the temple. And Isaiah is wrecked because he recognizes the glory of the weight, the kabod, the weight of the glory of the Creator God is in his midst. And he's like, I am undone. Hallowed be your name. We pray for that. You know, that's what we pray for every Sunday here, is that we would encounter God in that kind of way. That's why our vision language is that we exist to help people encounter and follow Jesus. That's why, you know, we say we want it for you, not from you, when we're encouraging you to get into a small group, because we want so desperately and pray so desperately for you to have moments where you are going to encounter the living God. And when you do, I can't be the same. That's why we invite you to serve the way we do, because we know it's just going to give you even more encounters to have God encounters. You're going to partner with God and you're going to see God move, and you're going to be able to say, God, how cool was it that I got to be a part of that where 14, 16 people just gave their life to you for the very first time. It's going to change generations of their family line forever. And God, thank you that you chose to use me in that moment, that I got to sit on the front row. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And maybe you're here and you're like me. As a kid, I was always like, oh man, you know, we're going to go to church. The dude's going to yell at me. They're going to sing a few boring songs and they're going to ask me for all my money or whatever. But even still, even in the giving, think about this. Why do we give? Because multiple reasons. A, the Lord said to. B, he talks about it biblically. C, God is a generous God. D, I could keep going all the way through the alphabet, but let me say it this way too. We give because we have this opportunity again to partner with God to see his kingdom come in spring on earth as it is in heaven. To partner with God to say, God, this is all yours anyway. To acknowledge to God that he is our provider anyway. We trust you with everything, God, including this. And you're going to take it, you're going to advance it, you're going to exponentially make it even greater than what we gave, and you're going to make an impact all over this world for the glory of your name. That's why we do the things that we do. It's really honestly it. That's it. That's it. So we invite him. God, would you just reveal the weight of your glory in such a way that I can't help myself. Hallowed be your name. I would never want to misuse your holy name, right? Number two, confess and repent if you've struggled with the sin of misusing his name. You know, there's a place, I wish that I pulled this scripture and I don't have it in the address locked in my mind, but it's in there, so Google if you want, whatever. There's a place where it talks about, you can say anything you want, pretty much about anything, even Jesus, and it's forgivable. But what is unforgivable is when you deny the Holy Spirit. So let me just share this with you. Maybe you have kind of messed up in this area before of misusing the holy name of God. There's forgiveness and grace for you here today. God, he will forgive it. He is faithful and he is just. He is right to be able to forgive you at that moment of your confession. God, I don't want to misuse your name. Hallowed be your name. May my life be a monument to your holiness instead of a megaphone of your unworthiness. Hallowed be your name. So there's grace for you today. Let's just turn back to the Lord. Let's just turn back to him and confess and just say, God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that because of the blood that Jesus spilled willingly for me, I can be forgiven. And then maybe you go back to step one. Now, God, would you reveal yourself in such a way that I'll never make that mistake again? So I'm going to encounter you in such a life-changing way that I'll never be the same. Number three, simple. Ready for this one? Watch your mouth. How do you like that application point? Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Ephesians 4, 29 to 30. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word that you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Ecclesiastes 10, 12. Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. Proverbs 18, 21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So just watch your mouth. It's number three of your application today. Listen, one time there was this knight in shining armor. Kind of go there in your mind with me, if you will. You picture him, this knight in shining armor, right? He comes before the king and he says, "Sir, king, I have just returned from battle." He's very proud of himself. "I've just returned from battle. I have valiantly fought in the service of your highness, my king. Beneath your banner and in your name, my king, I have defeated and I have pillaged your enemies to the west." The king stops for a minute and he goes, "Wait, enemies to the west? I don't have enemies to the west." "Oh, you do now, my lord." See, the knight in shining armor, he went out in the name of his king. However, he lived, the way he lived ended up harming the name and the fame of the king. So in the same way, listen, we can take the name of God. We do. We take the name of God everywhere that we go. And if we claim to be a Jesus follower, we've taken the precious name of Jesus Christ with us everywhere we go. What we say and how we live reflect directly on the name and on the fame of our King. This morning, would you stand to your feet? We want to pray. I want to invite you. Take a second with the Lord before we go. I want to pray for you. And then I'm going to just invite you to just worship, respond for just a moment. Maybe take some time of confession. Maybe take some time of reflection. Ask the Lord to search your heart. Thank the Lord. Just ascribe his holiness to him. Tell him how worthy he is. Ask him to reveal himself to you so that your life would be that hallowed be your name type of life. Just confess to him any places or any ways maybe you've misused his name. And then walk out of this house in freedom and joy. Because, listen, he's adopted you. He chose you. He created you. He called you. He loves you. He's got such good plans for you. He created you on purpose, for purpose. He is going to use you as you go, everywhere you go, that your your eyes would see the way his see, that your heart would beat for people the way his does, that your hands would serve the way he will use you everywhere you go. So let's just take a moment and just respond. I'm going to invite prayer partners, prayer team, elder family, staff, if you want to make yourself available in front of the black curtains to the right and the left. I want to let you guys know, church, to your right and to your left, in the front and in the back, there are some response tables. At those tables, you can do many things. You can grab communion and come to the table with your family, your church family. You can do that. There's some connect cards there. Maybe you've recommitted your life to Jesus this morning. Maybe you want more information about small groups that just launched. I want to encourage you, get in the small group. Maybe you need prayer. Please use that card. Write that prayer request down so our team can be praying for you and our church can be praying for you. All those are found at the response tables. You can give there if the Lord's calling you to do that. Everything is there. Let's just take a minute and let's respond. Let me pray for you. As you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, and maybe you'd say, you know what? My life right now is a misuse of the name of God, but I want that to be changed. And I want to surrender my life to Jesus right now. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Nothing magical. It's just we're going to confess our desire and our need for him. So pray with me right now. Would you just say, dear Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you. Your cross and your resurrection enables my freedom, my forgiveness, and friendship with God. Change my life. Change my heart. Change my mind. May I look like and live like you. Empty me of all my past, all my hurt, all my shame, all my regret, all my sin. Cover me with your grace. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now in this moment, I pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name, for the purpose of Jesus, for the mission of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, under the authority of Jesus, and for the glory of Jesus. Amen, I agree. Amen, amen. Let's sing, let's respond. Again, if you prayed that prayer, would you fill out that card? Let me know. I want to reach out to you. If you need prayer, do that. Response tables are open. Let's just take a few minutes. Let's respond as the team leads us, and then we'll go.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Maybe today you need to take the next step in your faith, whether that be giving your life to Christ, or maybe you would like prayer and need to be contacted by one of our pastors. In the podcast description, you will find a link to our website and a link to an online connection card. And if you feel led, there will also be a link there where you can give directly to the ministries of Declaration online. We would love to hear from you. God bless you and have a wonderful week.